Chapter 3 Silas has a suspicion that his father would be very annoyed at him if he knew that it was midnight and Silas was still up, but how can he possibly sleep when there are werewolves in the world, specifically when there's a super hot werewolf sleeping on their sofa? He's come and gone to the kitchen and peeked into the living room so many times that Derek finally gets frustrated and snarls, "Will you just come in here?" Yeah, sure, sorry. Styles keeps his voice low to avoid waking his father, who he hopes is sound asleep and dreaming of sugar plums. He settles on their easy chair across from the sofa. "And don't stare," Derek mutters. "Dude, sorry, you're a werewolf," Styles says. "Let me see. Come on, please. My dad doesn't know what he's doing, and I don't think he can shift on purpose yet. I want to see what a werewolf looks like." Derek just glowers at him. Styles sighs. "Okay, fine. But if I make you some cocoa, will you at least answer some of my questions? It's just, he's my dad, you know? I'm worried about him." Derek continues to glare for so long that Styles thinks he's going to say no, but then his shoulders slump inward and he mutters, "Fine, but I don't like sweet things very much. Do you have any tea?" "Sure." Styles heads into the kitchen with Derek behind him. "You know, microwaves should really have stealth settings. I'm always afraid that the beeping is going to wake him up, especially now that he has super hearing, which is really unfair, by the way. I guess I can kiss my days of sneaking in at night goodbye." "You shouldn't make tea in the microwave anyway," Derek says. "Don't you have a kettle?" No, Styles says, looking around. "We're more of a coffee family. The only reason we even have tea is because Dad doesn't like to have caffeine after dinner." Derek mutters something that sounds suspiciously like Philistines, but doesn't protest as Styles fills a mug with water and puts it in the microwave. "Decaffeinated tea is disgusting." "Yeah, it is," Styles agrees, "but Dad thinks green tea is low caffeine enough to count." He takes out a box of tea bags and sees Derek's nose wrinkle again. "I take it that you're a tea purist." "I don't like low quality anything," Derek says. He shifts uncomfortably and then says, "What are you doing up so late anyway? Too much caffeine?" "Caffeine calms me down and helps me sleep," Styles says, and sees Derek give him the side eye. "Scout's honor, it's the ADD. Anyway, no, I'm just running on nerves. I do that sometimes." Derek glances over at the stairs and says, "I guess I can understand that." "So you've always been a werewolf?" Styles asks, and Derek nods. "And your whole family, they're all werewolves?" "No," Derek looks away. "I mean, the only living family I have now is my Uncle Peter, and he's a werewolf. But before," he clears his throat, "both my parents were, and my siblings, but my father's brother wasn't, and neither was his daughter. Uncle Peter's wife wasn't either. Their son was too young to know for sure."
"Yeah, when do you find out? I mean, how can you tell?"
"Most kids start shifting for the first time around 4 or 5 years old. Sometimes it's just the claws or the ears at first. Before that, it can be hard to tell. Nathaniel probably was. Lycanthropy runs very strongly on my mother's side of the family. But there's no way to know." Derek looks away, and Styles remembers that they're talking about his real family members who died horribly.
Sorry. I don't mean to pry. I'm just worried about my dad. More relevant questions. He seems stronger and faster, more agile. And that bite wound disappeared within a day. Do all wounds do that? Because that would make me super happy, seriously."
"Most wounds will. Anything routine. But there are weapons that can be used to inflict wounds that won't be."
"Like Wolfsbane, right? And Silver?"
Derek nods. "And wounds from the Alpha. Those don't heal." Styles chews on his lower lip. He doesn't like that at all, since the Alpha is clearly a bad dude, and his father clearly has every intention of trying to apprehend him. He ponders this while he takes the mug out of the microwave just before the timer can go off, and dips the teabag in it before handing it off to Derek.
"You really have no idea who the Alpha is?" he asks, and Derek's scowl intensifies. "Why do you think he was trying to, how'd you put it, call on my dad?"
"Call him out," Derek says, and shrugs. "I don't know. Alphas are stronger when they have betas."
"Why?"
"I don't know. That's just how it is."
okay, but is it, like, cumulative, or is it exponential? Styles sees Derek giving him a look. Like, does having 3 betas make an alpha worth 4 total? Or does it make him worth 8? Or does... I knew what you meant. I was just surprised. Now it's Styles who scowls. I'm not an idiot, you know. Derek doesn't respond to that. It's a little of both. I wouldn't say it's dramatic enough to be exponential, but it's more than cumulative, too. The alpha gains power from each pack member, and the more pack members there are, the more he gains from each one. Styles nods. So this alpha, whoever it is probably going to want to turn more people. Probably. There's a thud upstairs, and Styles whips around, practically tripping over himself as he heads for the stairs. Derek grabs him by the wrist before he can start up them and collide with his father on the way down. He's wearing only a t-shirt and boxer shorts, and he's shifted, claws and fangs out. Styles gets as far as, "Dad, are you?" before seeing the werewolf features and blurting out, "Holy shit!" "Styles, get away from me," Tom manages through gritted teeth. Derek is immediately on his feet, getting Tom by the arm and stopping him before he can get to the door. "The Alpha's calling you again," he says, his voice even but tight with anxiety. "You have to fight it. Focus." Tom lets out a string of swears that, under better circumstances, would have sent Styles running for a dictionary. His claws are digging into his palms, and blood is running down his hands. "Jesus, Dad," Styles says, feeling helpless. He should be doing something. There had to be something he could do, but there isn't. He just stands there, uselessly, while Derek talks his father through several deep breaths. After what seems like a small eternity, Tom relaxes slightly and looks up. His gaze fixes on Styles, and he says, "What are you still doing up?" Styles breathes a sigh of relief. He doesn't bother lying, since his father would see through it anyway. "Couldn't sleep." Tom sighs. "Been a long day for all of us, I guess." "Are you okay?" Styles asks, not sure whether or not he really wants an answer. "For now, I think I am. Tired, but okay." "I'll make you some tea," Styles says. He frowns, thinking all of this over as he goes into the kitchen. Derek is still helping keep his father upright, that broody scowl fixed on his features. "Maybe, you know, if we want to know what the Alpha wants, maybe you should let him call you out. Go find him." "That wouldn't be a good idea," Derek says immediately. "Alphas are dangerous. If we got to him and we weren't prepared, it would be bad. And the closer you are, the harder it is to resist. You could wind up doing what he wants no matter how much you try not to. Whatever that is," he adds, shaking his head. "Let's talk about this in the morning," Tom says. "Whatever we decide to do about the Alpha, we'll do it together. Okay," he adds, and stares Derek down until he gives a sullen nod. Then he reaches out and gets Styles by the back of the neck in that combination of affectionate gesture and commanding scruff that he frequently subjects his son to. "Forget the tea. You need to get some sleep. I think we all do." "Okay," Styles says, but leans against his father for a few moments before they head up the stairs. Tom sleeps restlessly, afraid that if he falls asleep again, he might end up somewhere in the woods. He tosses and turns until it's nearly dawn, and then his cell phone rings. "Hey, Sheriff, sorry to wake you, but we've got a 187 down at the high school." "I'm on my way," Tom says, getting out of bed. He throws on his clothes and doesn't bother to shave. He can do it later. Styles will still be asleep at this hour, so Tom leaves a note to explain his absence. It's not normally necessary. If Styles can see that the cruiser is gone, he'll assume that his father is out on police business somewhere. But things are weird, and he doesn't want Styles to worry. Derek is still asleep on their sofa, and Tom hesitates a little. He's not in love with the idea of leaving Derek alone in the house with his teenaged son, but he can't quite bring himself to wake up Derek just to throw him out. He'll have to trust his estimation of the man's character. He heads down to the high school and finds a dead body on a school bus. It's practically been torn apart, like Laura Hale's was. The medical examiner is on the scene and says that the estimated time of death is about 1 o'clock. Tom frowns down at the body, and wonders why he was here in a parking lot at that time of night. "Any ID on the body?" Tom asks. "Looks like his name is Garrett Myers," Tara says, tapping on the computer in her squad car. "And this is his school bus. He drives for the county." Tom frowns. "Is there an address on him?" he asks, thinking that he might have been homeless and living on this bus. "Yep," Tara says, pulling it up. "Divorced, two adult kids. One lives in Reno and the other in a Seattle suburb. Wife moved all the way to Florida, so no immediate family in the area. Lives in an apartment on the west side of town. I'll run by and check it out, see if I can figure out what he was doing here so late at night." "Okay." Tom shakes his head and turns to the medical examiner. "Looks like the same animal that got that woman in the woods." "I can't say for sure until I get him back to the lab and measure the bite wounds," the M.A. says. "But yeah, that's a pretty good guess. Not that I know why the hell it would have chased him onto a school bus." "Me neither." Tom thanks her and says he'll wait for the report before heading back to the office. There are a lot of reasons he doesn't like this, but the biggest one is that the man was killed at the same time the Alpha had been trying to call him out. What had the Alpha wanted? Help murdering this man? Doesn't seem like he had needed the help. So what was the point? He had been back at the office for about 20 minutes when his phone rings. He glances down at the screen and sees that it's Stiles. "What's up?" he asks. "You got my note, right?" "Yeah, I did, but I wasn't sure if Derek had gone with you, because he's gone." Tom sighs a little. It was probably too much to ask that Derek would stick around. He wishes that he had a way to get in touch with him, because he wants to ask him why the Alpha might have called him. "No, he must have left after I got up. He probably heard me leaving. Look, go to school and keep your nose clean. Yes, someone was killed in the parking lot. I'm working on..." "In the parking lot?" Stiles bursts out. "Of the high school?" "Yes. Take a deep breath. There's a lot I don't know, and I don't want you getting in trouble over it." "But you'll keep me in the loop, right? If this is werewolf related..." "Go to school," Tom says, and hangs up the phone. He shakes his head a little and starts looking through Laura Hale's phone and financial records to see if he can find any connection between her and Garrett Myers. As far as he can tell, there's nothing. They have virtually nothing in common. Without a phone number to reach Derek at, he can't get a hold of him to ask if he knew Myers at all. "Did you pull phones and financials for Myers?" he asks when one of his deputies goes by. "Isn't it another animal attack?" the man asks. "Until we get confirmation from Fish and Game, it's a possible homicide," Tom says. "So get me his information, please and thank you." He looks up as Tara comes in. "Any luck at Myers' apartment?" "Nothing interesting. Just your average middle-aged bus driver. No drugs, no large stacks of cash, no guns. Nothing out of the ordinary." Tara shakes her head. "Why are you so convinced that it wasn't a cougar?" "Just a feeling," Tom says. "Did you get a good look at it when it attacked you?" Tara asks. "Yeah, and it didn't look like something that was going to follow a man onto a school bus," Tom says, and shakes his head. He's not about to tell Tara about werewolves, and he doesn't want the others asking too many questions about why he's convinced that this wasn't a rabid cougar. He wishes that he had a sounding board, someone he could talk to about all of this. Stiles would be happy, he's sure, but he wasn't going to involve his son in this any more than absolutely necessary. Since Derek isn't stable enough to hang around, that doesn't leave Tom with a lot of options. After some thought, he heads down to the animal clinic. "Sheriff, what can I do for you?" Deaton says, smiling when he sees Tom. "I'm still trying to figure out what kind of animal I'm looking for," Tom says. "This time it chased a man onto a school bus." "Not as unusual as it sounds," Deaton says. "The animal chased him, and he went for somewhere he felt was safe, and it followed him. That's all." "Yeah, I guess so. I just can't figure out why Myers was down at the school to begin with." "Maybe he was meeting someone," Deaton says. "If he was involved in something, that might be a good place. Somewhere he was familiar with and knew had no cameras." "Yeah, but there's no evidence of that," Tom says, rubbing his hand over the back of his head. "I mean, what kind of nefarious activity is a school bus driver going to be involved in?" "Well, Myers wasn't always a bus driver," Deaton says. He used to be an insurance investigator. Tom blinks. Was he? I guess that could be important. Why did he stop doing that and become a bus driver, I wonder? That I don't know. Well, it's something to look into. Thanks for your help, Alan. Tom waves and heads back to the office. The background check has come in on Myers, and he looks through it with interest. He had indeed been an insurance investigator up until 6 years previous, quitting in October of 2005. Tom frowns down at that. I don't suppose... Hey, Tara, can you pull the file on the Hale House fire for me?
Sure.
She brings it in a few moments later. Dare I ask why? In response, Tom flips it open and pulls up the investigator's report. The signature at the bottom is one Garrett Myers. He shows that to Tara. First Laura Hale, now the man who investigated the fire. Does that seem like a coincidence to you? I've got to grant that it doesn't. Tom rubs a hand over the back of his head. Put out an APB for Derek Hale. I haven't seen him since he left here yesterday, he adds, even though it's not true. I don't think he's the perpetrator, but I want him in protective custody. If the Hale House fire was arson, it could be that whoever did it is tying up loose ends. Why now? Tara asks. I'm not sure. I think Laura must have found something. She came back to town for some reason, and that's how all this got started. But if she did, there's no evidence of it in her records, and her brother isn't talking about it. Still, I want him found before he gets himself into trouble.
Will do, sir.
Tom rubs a hand through his hair and looks at the Hale Fire case file. It's going to be a long day. A few days later, Stiles is looking forward to an afternoon of video games and avoiding his homework when Derek stumbles out in front of his car. He slams on the brake, and the jerk behind him hits the horn. Stiles gets out of the car and flips him off, grabbing Derek before he can hit the ground.
Whoa, holy shit, dude, he says, seeing Derek's pasty complexion and reddened eyes. Are you okay?
I'm fine, I just...
Yeah, sure you are.
Stiles quickly hustles Derek into his car before anyone can see him, then starts down the road.
Why did you come here? Why not go to the station?
I don't know the people there. Derek leans forward, his entire body shivering. No one was at your house, so I thought...
Right, okay, that makes sense. What's wrong? You look like shit. Are you dying? You look like you're dying.
I was shot, Derek says.
Holy shit, Stiles says again. Why are you healing? You said werewolves could heal.
It was a different kind of bullet.
A silver bullet?
No, you idiot, Derek says through gritted teeth.
I don't know what kind of bullet. Probably some kind of wolfsbane.
Stiles nearly steers into a tree as Derek pulls his sleeve back to reveal the wound, puckered and inflamed and decidedly disgusting.
Oh, God, what is that? Is that contagious? You know, I'm putting up with a lot here. Maybe you should just get out.
God damn it, Stiles, Derek says. We need to find out what kind of bullet it was.
Oh, okay. I'll just grab my magic eight ball. Should we take you to the hospital? I mean, I don't think echinacea and a good night's sleep is going to fix that.
Do you ever stop talking? Derek asks.
No, not really. It's kind of a nervous habit, if we're going to be honest.
Okay. How do we find out what kind of bullet it was?
We need to get into the hunter's house and find it.
Stiles blinks at him. He opens his mouth to retort that this seems like a really stupid idea. At the last second, he thinks of everything that's happened over the past week, about how hard it obviously is for Derek to ask for any sort of help. He grimaces a little.
Okay, and since you're saying that, I assume you know who shot you, he says, and Derek nods.
Great, that simplifies matters considerably. He pulls over to the side of the road and gets out his phone.
What are you doing? Derek asks, grabbing his wrist.
What? Ow! I'm calling my dad. Let me go, asshole.
Derek doesn't.
We don't need to get anyone else involved. Just do what I say and...
Look, jerkface, if I break into someone's house and start stealing their shit, my dad will ground me until the earth crashes into the sun. You've been shot, dude. Do you really think my dad wouldn't want to know about that?
Stiles searches for the words that will make Derek calm down.
You're scared, okay. I get it. But my dad can help you. He will help you, okay?
Derek looks away and doesn't reply, but he does let Stiles go, slumping back into his seat and shivering. Stiles dials his father, who picks up on the second ring.
Hey, Dad, I have a small problem.
Oh, Lord, Tom says.
Well, his name is Derek Hale, and he's in the passenger seat of my car, and he's been shot.
Shot? Tom's voice rises. Okay, I'll meet you at the hospital.
I don't think we can take him to the hospital, Dad, Stiles says, and talks over Tom's protest. It's just his arm. He's not bleeding out or anything, but the bullet must have had some kind of werewolf kryptonite in it, because he's not healing and he looks wrecked. Derek says if we can get him one of the bullets, he'll know what was in it, and then he can, you know, fix himself up. And I very maturely decided to call you instead of breaking into someone's house, and I expect accolades for this.
Tom gives a snort of laughter despite the circumstances. I'll grant that's far more restraint than I would have expected from you, especially lately.
Okay, put me on speaker.
Okay, Stiles taps the screen.
Derek, Tom says, do you know who shot you?
Derek's quiet for a minute before he throws in the towel. The hunters in town are the Argents. It had to have been one of them.
Argents? Stiles interrupts. Like the Allison Argent that Scott is dating?
Oh, swell.
Where were you when this happened? Tom asks. And when?
Downtown, about 16th and Washington. It was late, around 2:30 in the morning.
What the hell were you doing running around downtown in the middle of the night?
I was after the Alpha, Derek says through gritted teeth.
The Alpha we had agreed that you wouldn't go after by yourself?
Derek says nothing.
Okay, we're definitely going to have a talk about that later, but for now there are clearly more important issues at hand. I'm going to go get you that bullet. Stiles, take him back to the house and make sure he doesn't get himself into any trouble. Derek, go with Stiles back to the house and make sure he doesn't get into any trouble.
That's very unfair, Dad, but... Stiles sees the way Derek is glowering.
But we will do that, yeah. Just, keep me in the loop so I don't worry, okay?
Okay. Tom hangs up. Stiles pulls back onto the road and heads back home.
Look, my dad will come through. You can count on him, you know?
Derek clutches at his wounded arm and says nothing.
Right, Stiles says, and resigns himself to a long afternoon.